Welcome to Steady She Grows. I'm Casey Jordan, and this is the podcast that is dedicated to giving you an honest look at the realities of being a solo entrepreneur. My guess is that you want to grow a sustainable and feel-good business without burnout and overwhelm. I have a passion for creating clarity out of the chaos that is building a business without a giant budget, without a team of people to manage, and in the hours you choose to work. We're talking about the realities of what it takes to be a solopreneur, both logistically and emotionally. We'll get into the good stuff in literally 60 seconds, but first, a quick shout out to my sponsors. This episode is sponsored by my Strategy Jam sessions. These sessions are hyper-focused on creating clarity and a clear plan of action for whatever you are struggling with in your business today. Whether you need help getting more productive, completing your goals, or growing your visibility, it's only $99 for 90 minutes of one-on-one coaching, including a next step action plan so you stay on track. It's not just fluff coaching. We're creating a real plan of attack for just your needs. Learn more and get signed up at caseyjordan.com/strategyjam. And now to today's episode. Welcome to the show today, my friend Paula Jenkins from Jumpstart Your Joy. I'm so excited to have you on my show because I have guested on your show, but now I'm excited to have you here. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a treat.
Yeah. So let's back up a little bit. Tell me about how you got into entrepreneurship. Did you know this was coming or did you fall into it kind of thing?
Well, it's kind of both. I mean, I think if you look at hindsight stuff, even in high school, I had a business where I was raising baby mice and selling them to a pet store, you know, that came out of nowhere. Then I started a stationery company back in 2000 and that after the dot-com boom and I lost my job there. And, oh, what do I want to do? Oh, I'm going to make a website, make stationery. And I did that for a while. So I think I would tell you no, but I think the pattern has been that I am really excited to do my own thing. Right. And so, yeah, it's a great fit, yeah. You know, turns out.
Great
fit.
Yep. So tell me about the start of Jumpstart Your Joy, because I feel like you and I met, was that a year and a half ago now at She Podcasts? I feel like what you've offered since then from when I looked at your website in the last week or so has shifted a little bit. So yeah, the beginning of this business.
Yeah, well, so I did the brief version of the history is then after I had a stationery company, I became a project manager and was a project manager for advertising and marketing, both in agencies and in-house for people for basically 15 years. I had my son, he's now 9, and it was a very long birth. It was 56 hours, and I was diagnosed with PTSD after that. And that's when I started to realize that, yeah, no, I'm not. I mean, as I saw him growing, I knew I wanted to be this person that could be there for him and that was fully happy and present. And I also knew that advertising wasn't a match for that. You know, I kind of joked even at the time I was leading retreats on the side because I can never do just one thing, but then I would go for a retreat for the weekend and tell people about how to get in alignment and slow down and tap into what they love. And then I'd just go into the office for the 9 to 5 in an ad agency and tell people why they should be using a credit card. I mean, quite literally, I worked on a credit card or what bleach they should use. It was so out of alignment. And so that's when I started working with my own coach. And that's Michelle Ward, the When I Grow Up coach. She's pretty amazing. And realized that there was something about coaching that I really loved. And I think for me now, again, hindsight, of course, is that it was a really great way to work through PTSD and figuring out what had happened there, but also a really great place to start to play with questions that people asked. And that was the birth of the podcast. Was I thought I was creating this marketing arm for a life coaching business because I was in a life coaching certification program. Turns out people started saying, hey, how'd you do that?
Right.
And can you run mine? And that's, I know that I needed the coaching skills that I had because I didn't really have that skill set yet as a formal training. Mm-hmm. And it really bolstered me into this place where then I could offer project management plus coaching equals kind of podcasting. So that's where Jumpstart Your Joy came from. And in the last 6 or 7 months, I've committed I've committed to, I rolled out Joy and podcasting, which is kind of the business side. I figured my podcast can't also be the business because it's, I needed to separate them again.
Right.
So that's where I've been over the last, you know, 20 years.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I feel like my background is mental health. I was a therapist before I went out on my own. And so I feel like, I don't know how I would, when I do project strategy stuff with people, there's a lot of therapy that goes into that. So having the life coaching, especially something like podcasting, where it can feel really weird and vulnerable to talk to yourself, or mine is all interview based, reaching out to strangers and asking them to come be on this show that's brand new. I imagine there's a fair amount of life coaching that inherently kind of happens within creating a podcast as well.
For sure. Yeah. And I, in any project, it's funny because I always loved the interpersonal side of it. Yeah. And that was, you know, teams get to a certain point and everyone's, oh, we can't launch. And that whole, I should come up with the term for whatever that is, but there's always a panic when you're about to launch because it's too vulnerable. You're not totally confident. It's brand new and people back out at that point.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. There's a lot of coaching around vulnerability and probably a whole other background piece of stuff around, you know, is it good enough? Am I good enough?
Right.
And that took, for sure, looking at a life coaching perspective on it, understanding how that fit for me, because the program I was part of was very much like you learn to coach, but you're also being coached. So that was really helpful.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you're right. It's project work is not easy.
Yeah. Yep. So tell me a little bit about I want to hear more about the emotional side of this, because there is kind of that coming out of the PTSD component and learning to balance that. So as you have kind of started and realized the alignment thing, how have you grown emotionally with this?
That's huge.
I was just going to say, that's a really big question. Let's just drop the bomb. Yeah.
No, let's go there. Well, there was a key component as I was getting diagnosed. I didn't know what it was. And it's always hard to explain it even, because I knew that I wasn't me, but I couldn't really articulate what was wrong or where I had gone.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, about someone who has a podcast about joy, I'm kind of like one of these very naturally bubbly, you know, happy people. And I knew that part of me was kind of lost somewhere. And I also knew that for my son and to be the mom that I wanted to be, I needed to find my way back to that person. I didn't want to be stuck in that weird space. At least it felt very weird to me. I can't really feel things. I'm kind of stuck in other thoughts.
Were you diagnosed relatively early after his birth, or did this take some time to even see that in yourself?
It was relatively early.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was really early. It was 3 or 4 months, and it was Okay. And I'd gotten admitted. I mean, the program actually invited me to join them in a day program where you would come in like for postpartum depression, but I just knew that wasn't it. Yeah, I'd probably get something out of this program, but I don't think that's exactly what's going on here. And when I found the right therapist, like, it made all the difference. I mean, she was amazing. And I didn't know what tapping or
EMDR.
Thank you. I don't remember.
I've done them all. Yep.
Yeah. So we did that. She was just really, it was right on, really helpful. And I left feeling confident. I think my biggest fear was that I'd somehow harmed him in the whole thing. And that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of it knowing that, and knowing that he's where he's supposed to be, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And so that emotional journey of getting through that and knowing I can absolutely live through the hardest things, I think was also one of the foundational steps in knowing, well, yeah, this podcasting isn't easy, but look what else I've done. It can't be harder than that.
Yeah,
like, nothing can. That was the worst, at least so far.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what's coming, but I feel like it did give me this emotional toolkit of, okay, I can step back when I need to. I can take a breath when I need to. I can, because I felt like the other thing that I was being called to do in that moment was find my way back to happy. I felt like joy was calling me in some way. And so when I was thinking of the name for my own show, it was about, what's that nugget right there that was calling to me. And I bet it calls other people. So that's kind of like the heart of my show is how do people make the choice to follow the happiness, the joy, whatever that emotion is when they're stuck in the middle of a really hard time. So it was my own emotional journey that then, you know, I ironically use the word birth, but birthed this show too.
Right. I have started doing more public speaking, and at first, you know, all the nerves of being on stage. And then it clicked to that thing of, I have literally survived being blown up.
Yeah.
Okay, like being on stage is nothing. Like, I got this. And so I was at an event, a real small event community networking thing, and a woman got up and is just sweating bullets through the whole conversation and looking at her note cards and shaking. And we kind of chatted afterwards. And she was, how are you so confident about stepping up in front of a crowd and just rolling with it? And I was like, well, I know I'm not going to die. And she was like, what? And I'm like, I know speaking on stage is not going to kill me. And yeah. I have literally dodged the bullet in other places, in other countries. So I got this. And she was like, wow. Okay. You know, being able to look back on that and all the tools that the therapy and the life coaching give us in managing the PTSD and then putting that into similar kind of into business practices is when it gets all overwhelming and I want to burn it all down, it's like, okay, take a step back, take a deep breath, you know, and hold tight on that thought.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It does give you a different lens. I imagine. I mean, cause I mean, selling mice as a high schooler was way different, but it also wasn't the same level of I'm supporting a family with it.
So, right. Yeah, exactly. What has been your favorite part about growing Jumpstart Your Joy?
There's so many favorite parts. I mean, it's been really fun to get to have conversations with people that I know I never would have met or talked to if it wasn't for the show.
Right.
And some of those things, I mean, you know, even like boy band members, famous authors, like, and to get to ask them these kinds of questions. I mean, it's almost like I get to live out the part about, you know, if you could invite five famous people to dinner, who would you invite? Yeah. It's almost like you get to, I mean, they're not all in the same room, but it's been really interesting and amazing how some people are so very deep and maybe you wouldn't originally give them that credit. Like you would assume something else of them.
Yeah.
I think another really favorite part is growing my own knowledge on topics. I mean, strangely for a show that's about joy, I really like talking and have talked to some therapists and, you know, counselors about grief because I feel like they're two bookends of the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been really interesting to hear how that has come to light and how that is true. I think they believe the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's been also really neat getting to create kind of a body of work around joy and what does joy mean? Because the other part I didn't mention about my background is I was a religious studies major and I'm a master of arts in religion. And it's that kind of snaps into place of what's the purpose? How do we align to joy and all that from a spiritual side? So I think, I mean, I didn't even mention growing a business, but those are the three things I probably love that the most about the show.
But that it's loving that thing that makes you keep showing up. So we were kind of just talking about this before I started recording is doing the thing that industry tells you to do. So in my industry, I got a very strong message after She Podcast, that I needed to be using my podcast more strategically to build business. And to do that, I needed to be doing solo episodes so I could really showcase me and what I do and what I teach. Mm-hmm. And so I went down that path and I realized I hate doing solo shows like that. That's not why I started a podcast, so that I got to eavesdrop on other people's businesses. I want to snoop in their business. I want to hear what was hard for them, what was easy for them. I want to learn. I've learned about all sorts of interesting industries. And so that thing of doing what I'm supposed to didn't work for me. And so coming back, I'm just now coming back to, my podcast is loosely tied to my business and I pitch my business at the beginning and end of my show, but it's its own thing. And that's okay because I want to hear about business. And it's interesting that like you have that kind of that central component of joy. How often Do you hear the same answers, though, about what is joy?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a top five for sure. Because the first question I asked everybody is, what were your earliest sparks of joy? And the top five answers on the board are always nature, pets, creativity, hanging out with friends, and usually something like reading is usually up there, which is interesting. But so you do hear a lot, and the thing that leads me to is there's, no matter where you are, there's something that could that you could tap into from whatever your earliest sparks of joy were, mm-hmm. that's portable and available right now, right? Like I could walk outside and notice what is joyful, or I could open a book that I once loved, or maybe a new book, and that could be joyful. So I think that part is interesting. And yes, there is some repetition in what people see. Yeah. And I love what you said about, you know, taking stock in what the thing is that you want to do instead of what air quotes industry experts say you should do, because I think that's also the heart of the journey, at least it has been for me, because I, not to say anything bad about anyone who's created a blueprint, but I think blueprints are a really rough way to go.
Yes. That has been one that's been hard for me lately, is I have become more and more anti-course, because the industry, quote unquote, says you need to build a course so that you can serve a lot of people and make a lot of money. But if that's the only point of having the course, that's the wrong answer. If you can group coach and the course is the most efficient way to help a lot of people, that's a different purview. And then I do product strategy and I'm like, well, if you're building your course, I'm like, yeah, but I don't want you building a course. Like, so why am I teaching you how to build a course? You know, is finding those right aspects for you. And we were kind of talking about staying small. It doesn't have to be a giant thing if you don't want it to be.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things, the topics that's really delighted me in the last 6 months is around playing small. I mean, everyone knows probably of Tara Moore's Playing Big book, and there's something about it. So also humor here. I'm 4'10". So there's always been something about when people say big or bigger is better. And I'm like, screw you. Like I didn't show up that way and I'm not like bad. So, you know, I kind of take it maybe a little too personally, but I think that there's something important about, and maybe that's why I showed up in this form, was you don't have to be big to be joyful, for sure. I mean, physically or business-wise.
Yes.
And early on, I mean, back in the agency, there was an agency that has since disbanded, but their name was We Like Small. And I just loved them because they were like so dedicated to being a boutique offering and doing it well and getting really juicy in there and just killing it. There was something really inspiring about that. And it definitely is the exact opposite of what playing big, I feel, now I've read the book, but that I feel it encourages what business should be, which is get out there, hustle, make a name for yourself, you know, be vulnerable. But I think for a lot of us who are probably, I identify as an outgoing introvert, like that just feels, I'll say it, gross. I don't want, I mean, I like Instagram and I like writing about it. I like writing for Instagram and I like my own little posts, but I'm also, you know, I have followers, but I'm not obsessed with that number.
Right.
And I think it's really important for entrepreneurs to know that you can have a business that supports you and that is meaningful and that reaches your perfect persona or whatever, and it doesn't have to be big. That's the landing point for that is there. And I'll add one more little thing there. Obviously I'm fired up, but I had a voice actress on my show, and at this moment I cannot remember her name, but she even, like, this is kind of where some of this, the juicy nugget of this came from for me, was she's like, well, you don't realize there's thousands of actors out there doing what they love. You don't know their names, and they are making a fine living at it. And so we don't need to focus on being, I would say Brad Pitt, clearly I'm not Brad Pitt, but we don't need to focus on being the named person.
Right.
I think focusing on that space that feels better for us, and that's kind of the heart of what I'm calling playing small, is like focusing on that, focusing on the space that feels right and that is sustainable, like that's so much better and feels so much better than leaning in and playing big and
all the big catchphrases right now.
Burnt out. That's where that leads.
Exactly. I feel like, you either end up burnt out or you end up frustrated because it's not working the way it's supposed to. I've been obsessing about learning about the MLMs lately, and kind of there's a podcast called The Dream that, if you're interested, if you're anti-MLM, it's fascinating. But they talk about this, these women, the expectation is to play big, is to lean in and play big, and they do it and they do it and they do it, and they still don't gain any ground. And then it internalizes as, I am inherently bad, worthless, not deserving, whatever. And it's like, no. You, like, in the case of MLMs, you're in a system that's set up against you. But even outside of MLMs, like 91% of small businesses fail in their first year. It's a hard fucking thing to do. I've had to really separate my self-esteem from, like, I have chronic health issues. I can't play big. My play big looks different than, you know, I don't know, Marie Forleo's play big. And so I've had to keep redefining that for myself, which I think this is one of the misperceptions. I think you're the person to ask about this, is as we talk about playing small, the balance of playing small, but still growing. I feel like people think, if I'm going to play small, that means I'm only going to work like 5 hours a week versus, so go down that with me.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's a great question, because I think there's also one of the things, I mean, there's a couple of things with playing small that's like, it's not really an invitation to hide out either. I'll be really clear about that. It's not, it doesn't mean you should hide or not make waves, or that's not what I'm implying. I'm saying play to your strengths, play to what feels right. Because I think a lot of times, what we're doing is, and I will answer the question in a roundabout way also. Absolutely. That you just asked, but like, I think a lot of times we're actually going for that blueprint version of what we think we should do, but that's not aligned with who we are or why we're here. I mean, it took me a really long time to get to this place where I could find the magical mix of project management and podcasting and life coaching. And I've done some improv, but it's like, it's here. Like, I've created the thing that I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have ever gotten here by following somebody else's blueprint. And I wouldn't have ever gotten here by playing really big, because then I would have some other message I'm trying to do. So I think in playing small, what I'm saying is spend the time to figure out and keep playing, you know, keep playing in general. And spend the time to figure out what's the alignment and what feels really good. Mm-hmm. Because that's, once you hit that, it's like alchemy or something. I don't know if I'm using the term right, but like there's something magical that literally happens. And that's when people are drawn to you. Because when I hit it, that's when people said, oh my gosh, can you teach me how to do that? Yeah. That's not where I was headed. And this is the whole well-planned, loosely held thing that I think we talked about on your show. I mean, on my show when you came on too, but there's something magical that happens. I'm going to keep working towards my own personal growth and continuing to podcast and figuring out joy. And along the way, the other stuff comes in. And I'm not thinking it's a law of attraction. I think it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And then chance favors the prepared mind, Louis Pasteur.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I think the conversation, you're talking about stuff that I hear, but in a vernacular that I haven't been hearing it in, is we talk about being willing to fail often. Is like, I feel like this is kind of the flip side of that, is like, instead of looking at it as a failure, it's all a lesson. I keep tweaking what I'm doing. I keep tweaking my website. I keep tweaking my offers. I've realized that I don't want to look polished on my website, because if you know me in real life, I'm not exactly polished. And, you know, all these little things. And now, after, you know, I'm a year and a half into this particular business, this version of this business. And now my mom read my website for the first time just recently. She texted me. She's like, now it sounds like you. And I'm like, there it is. Like, yes. And I stopped. And my Instagram, I have stopped doing all of the shit that I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm starting to speak to people the way I speak the things I believe, what I want to say. And yeah, my engagement is through the roof for mm-hmm. what it has been in the past. And it's that thing of, yeah, keep testing. And they don't have to be big changes. You know, I don't have to change industries or, you know, whatever. It's instead of a big coaching package, it's a small coaching package because I like really intimate work and I like us to work hard and fast. I want you to go away and never need my help again because I gave you the tools to keep doing this for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there is still that ability to play small, but grow.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think it also doesn't feel like you have to get into the hustle of it. You know, I'm not trying to be somebody different on Instagram than I really am.
Yep.
I mean, even I worked with a designer to do some templates because I was like, oh, this is getting messy. And I knew I didn't want kind of that light and airy lifestyle. You know, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying I knew that's not what I wanted. And it's a really popular look.
Yep.
I knew that my life is bright and colorful and that's what I like. And like yellow is my favorite color and I like butterflies. So I found a designer to do that.
Yeah.
But like, that's growth. That's, and if somebody else is like, oh, I really like all the other stuff. Well, that's fine. They will, you will find your right people, I think is what I'm saying. And they will find you.
Yeah.
And the more authentic, and that doesn't mean more vulnerable, but the more authentic you can be about who you are and what you like and what lights you up, the more likely it is you're going to draw those similar people in.
Right. Yeah. And I think this next is exactly, is there's just been in my realm of Instagram, there has been a lot of conversation lately about politics and business and how you shouldn't talk about politics and business, but politics are important to me. And I want to know who I'm giving my money to. And I have made some big changes in where I'm sending money in the past couple months of things that are shifting in America and things that are shifting in industries. And did I lose followers? I'm sure I did. Will I lose a couple more followers because of this conversation right here? I might, but if I'm not honest to who I am and what matters to me the most, whether that's as love, whether that's on the level of I love yellow and butterflies, or whether that's on the level of like, where do I stand on racism? Like, these things all matter. And like you said, the Instagram feed thing, I was actually literally this morning flipping through my feed and I'm like, it's all black, but I love black. I love black and white. So why do I care? Because I was just catching myself on that. Oh, I should do more photos of me and I should pick a filter. No, fuck. I like black. I cuss a lot. I don't have a lot to say. And a lot of my captions are shorter than they're quote unquote supposed to be. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna roll with that. Yeah. And the people that are meant to stay, stay. And the people that are meant to find you. And it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you're questioning kind of the role of politics and maybe current events as well within the business. I mean, I think for me, I can't not talk about it. I think for me, it's hard to find the balance because my feed could easily become all about one topic.
Yes.
And then I'll admit that's one thing I've struggled with is how do I honor the things that I really value and I think are important and not let it take over a feed. I could go there.
That's exactly the game I've been playing. I actually have three Instagram feeds. I have my personal one, my business, and then my other business. And like my other business, that feed is a train wreck right now. And it is all current events. It's hot and fiery. It's, you know, the weird witchy stuff like tarot cards. It's a totally different realm. Mm-hmm. And then this one, a little more polished. Like I want people to understand where I stand. I'm going to amplify the voices I want to amplify, but I also try to bring it back to business as often as I can, because that is ultimately why people are there. And I want to respect that. Yeah. So like you said that, finding that balance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm constantly thinking about how does joy play into that? And
and
the really hard question around that is how do you talk about joy when you know other people aren't feeling joy or when joy isn't, how do we all feel joy when there isn't equality and freedom for all in many ways? So that's the part that I'm struggling with to articulate in a meaningful way in a in social media. And it gets tricky.
Yeah. Do you have, because obviously I don't see all your social media, your podcast or whatever. Do you have the conversation about those moments that aren't filled with joy? Like the fact that it's okay to not feel joy for a while and then how, you know, kind of coming back around to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, strangely, or maybe not, one of the most downloaded episodes is how to feel joy in difficult times, which I mean, I think is really appropriate for right now. And maybe that's why a lot of people are tuning into it. But I mean, I think more recently that's gone back to even just those five things of where can you find joy right now? What can you, I know one of the astronauts who was, you know, up in space and was talking about how do you find joy in isolation was saying, you know, she would look to how can you sink into the things that you will maybe never experience again, but that you can experience right now? And, you know, for her, that'd be like looking out the window and there's the earth. That's amazing.
You know? Yeah.
So, and that's another easy one. If somebody's like, this whole thing is crazy and confusing. Okay. But if it is that you're in your home and you're in shelter in place, what can you do right now? Right. I'm not going to have my whole family in this house again. Maybe. Yeah. After a year, that will go away. So how do we, you know, we play World of Warcraft. So we can do that here right now and we don't have to worry about waking up on time. So
exactly. Or like the one I've had to remind myself, oddly enough, is I can still go outside and shelter in place. Like as I have found myself drawn to the back deck a lot more of just, you know, I'm taking a 10-minute break from work. I'm going to scroll TikTok. I'm going to go ahead and scroll TikTok outside and like just that little bit of hit of fresh air and different, you know, sun and so, okay. Little reset, little joy. Then I can dive back into the seriousness of whatever else is going on.
Yeah. And that's not too far different from like Fred LeBlanc of the band Cowboy Mouth was on the show. And he went through a really bad divorce and was in a bad place and was thinking of, like you mentioned, you know, burn it all down. Like, and I think he was in that place and he was like, he found himself thinking about where's that one place that I can find some happiness. And it's drumming, 'cause he's a drummer and the lead singer. And he's like, and so I would just hold the drumstick. And then the next thing is I'm just going to start. And that's it. Like it's just keep swimming. It's just the next step. It doesn't have to go anywhere further than that. But then he would be like, and then I'd find myself, you know, working on a song or I'd be in front of a crowd and that energizes me. And it's just the next step.
Yeah. Yep. So I want to take a little bit of a left turn because you mentioned this and I love this topic so much. I want to make sure we talk about it on my show. Well played, loosely held.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I mean, it's such a great, I don't even know who first came up with it. I can't find it anywhere. And I really don't think it was me, but
you.
Okay, whatever. I'll take it. But yeah, well played, loosely held is, I mean, it's kind of a project management thing because when you're going to, I mean, if you just think about it, even like planning a trip, you have to have a destination. I know my husband would, you know, he'd be like, well, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but it's never happened. And I'm like, well, you're going to set up the money and like start saving. And then you're going to make, and I think a lot of people get stuck in that space. I mean, that's kind of a simple, silly example, but if you know you want to have a podcast, then you need to know the steps and start working through them again, like just the next step. And so I think one of the things I like to do is to create the plan. So I've thought through all the things and I know where I'm going. And then along the way, oftentimes things come in and you learn more and the view changes a little bit. And that's the loosely held. I still know where I am going, but I'm leaving room for inspiration and creativity and new findings and let that shape whatever the end product might be. Right. And I'm trying to think of like a tangible example, but I mean,
kind of a funny story. It's not business related, but my mom and I, we made a trip. We were going to go to Lewistown. It's this little podunk small town in Montana. It's a 4-hour drive. And they're supposed to have this amazing, like, 20-some mile bike path that kind of winds through town and out into the country. And so we pack our stuff and take our bikes and we go up there. And the hotel the website for this hotel is this little historic building that they converted into a hotel. And it's supposed to have this amazing, like, cocktail and oyster bar downstairs. And we had the plan. Here's what we're shooting for. We're going to be in Lewistown. We're going to stay at this hotel. We're going to go bike this amazing path. Well, we get there and find out that the room with a view was actually, there's like a wall in front of the view, so you actually can't see the actual view, which is the courtyard, not the mountains, which mm-hmm. is implied in Montana. And then the oyster bar and cocktail lounge had been shut down for like 6 months and they had no intention of reopening it. But it was still on the website. And just piece by piece, this trip started to crumble. And we found out the plans have been made for this trail, this 28-mile bike trail thing. Only about 6 miles of it have actually been created. And my mom and I were just like, oh, shit, what have we gotten into? And so that night, we'll wander down to the hotel's close enough to, like, the little main street strip. We'll go find a bar and have a drink there. My mom and I, when we travel, our favorite thing is cocktails and appetizers. And we will hop from place to place. And so that's why an oyster bar, cocktail bar that's in the hotel was supposed to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so we wander downtown and they were having an open mic night street mm-hmm. dance thing. And people who aren't familiar with small towns, it's as crazy and hokey as it sounds. So they've got an 8-piece band and every song, a different person from town would get up and sing. And all of a sudden they realize there's a different drummer than a couple songs ago. And the people from town were just wandering up and picking up an instrument and jumping in and jamming for a little bit. And then they'd let, you know, Joe would take over the guitar and, you know, Mary'd go get a round of drinks and people were dancing. And we had a blast. We still talk about this trip. Everything that we were supposed to do, we ended up having to switch hotels halfway through the trip. Like, all of the plans fell apart, but we already had the destination. Yeah. And so we just started looking for new things. We found some guy, we went into the American Legion for a drink. And some guy caught on to, you know, two women sitting in a small town American Legion, caught on to the fact I was a veteran. And so throughout the night, as we were at the street dance, every time this guy saw us, he would buy us a drink or say hi. Or one of the bars actually sits over a waterway. And inside the bar, you can see down into the creek and see the fish swimming under the bar. And so he's like, hey, you got to come see us. I'm like, this is weird. We're going to get murdered. And he's like, no. Like, come see. And it was, like I said, totally like tangent, but it was the perfect trip. We had the destination. We had what we thought we were going to do. It all fell apart, but we rolled with it. We grabbed the parts and pieces that we could, and it still turned out to be, it's still one of my favorite trips that my mom and I have ever taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that really does embrace the heart of it. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, I say I couldn't find an example, but I think my show is, and then my business is the example of that yeah. is, you know, I kick it off thinking it's going to be the marketing arm of a life coaching business. I knew I wanted a business. There's the destination.
Yeah.
But I had to be open to all the things along the way of, like, people saying, hey, would you do this? And if I was clinging tightly to this idea that, oh no, I'm a life coach, this is where I'm, then those wouldn't, I may not have even seen those opportunities. But when, like you're saying, when you're like, hey, yeah, we talked to this guy and then he showed us, we could see down into the creek. And yeah. like, if you were just dead set on this is what it's going to be and darn it, it's not working. Well, then that would have been such a different outcome. And yeah. there's so much joy when you can just stay open and yeah. kind of observant and curious. And mm-hmm. it probably even ties into improv of, you know, accepting yeah. all offers, which is one of the primary yeah. rules of yes and.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had to just, yeah, you just look around and see what there is, and you're like, okay, I'm going to try this, and if this doesn't work, then we'll go try that, and if that doesn't work, we'll go try that, and somewhere along the way, something works. Like you said, with your business, it was supposed to be marketing, and then yeah, let me say yes to this and see what happens here. And then I'm going to say yes to one more. Oh, somebody asked me about how to set up a podcast. Sure, I'll walk you through that. And bam.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then it is funny how all the other skills then fall into place where you're like, yeah. oh, and you want your website redone? And you wanted to, and it's like, right. I know how to do that. So yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah. I love that concept so well. And I had unfortunately kind of forgot about it until you mentioned it, Jen. I was just, I think that playing small and doing what's right for you in your business, and then the well played loosely held, can we play big with those ideas?
Right.
Can we slap that on a banner somewhere? Because I'm like, that's what we need to be hearing, but that's not, I feel like maybe it's because they're not glamorous messages. Is that why that message gets lost?
I wonder. Well, and it's not very, sure, you could Instagram those quotes.
Right.
But like, I think you're right. It doesn't lend itself always to like what we've been conditioned to think is the dream.
Yeah.
You know,
people want the six figures and the hustle and the blueprint to do it in 22 hours while sleeping 18 hours, you know?
Yeah. Well, and maybe I should just start taking pictures of me out on my patio furniture and be like, you know, this is plain small. Like, right. Sorry, you just got your sword. But like that, you know, here's my artichoke plant, which is on Instagram. But like, here's the things that are really joyful to me, because that's what I'm embracing.
Yeah. Yep. I love it. All right. So I have three questions that I ask at the end of every episode. First up, what has been your biggest failure/hardest lesson, most painful lesson to learn along the way?
I think it was, I'll probably get the year wrong, but around 2017, I had gone out for a year on my own as a life coach and podcaster, and I'd saved up a severance so I could do it. And around about October, before that, I saw the signs, but it was clear, like, this is not the magic that I thought it was. And I didn't have enough clients. And so it was very apparent that I needed to go get a 9-to-5 again, or go back and do what I had done. And that was really hard, mostly because I wanted so bad to make it and make the leap out of the 9-to-5. But I think it also, like, the golden lining or silver lining or whatever lining was that it showed me that the skills I have as a project manager are so marketable that I could go back, and it's not failure. It's not defeat. It's like, it's tapping into the resources that I have and using them in a smart way. So it was really hard at the time.
Yeah.
But I was grateful really for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Like, when people talk about jumping out of the 9-to-5, I'm like, if you need to keep a side job, keep the damn side job, like, pay the bills first. Mm-hmm. The business will come. Yeah. So yeah. What has been your biggest win?
Well, I think this year, so I went through the couple years of dual, like, being a freelancer and having a side business. And then in 2019, I went out on my own. And this year, with the pandemic and everything else, I think it's more of a personal victory in that I know what I've got is sustainable, and that I can, right now, I mean, my husband lost his job. Mm. And so we're going to figure out healthcare on our own. But the business I've built can sustain us. Like, what? It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. That, like, this, it was the right time and all that, but that it can happen is probably the biggest win, and that it did, and I built it.
I love that. I love that. And so relevant. Like you said, the world's kind of crumbling around us, and this is holding steady. That is phenomenal. Phenomenal. All right. What is one piece of advice you wish you had known sooner in your business?
It's okay to be you.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I, for a long time, even, and joy comes back into this, for a long time, I thought people wouldn't take me seriously if I was too joyful and a business person. But turns out, I mean, that's just a paradigm that, sure, some people still subscribe to. Mm-hmm. But you can be really, like, a joyful, outgoing, happy person and still be serious as hell. Mm-hmm. And smart as hell and get shit done. Like, you don't need to worry about being dismissed just because you're lighthearted and maybe are really short, and none of that really matters because you just got to trust that you've got the skills to get it done.
Right. If you're good at what you do, people will see that and it works. I love that. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on today. Tell us where we can find you to learn more about you.
Sure. So you can find my podcast at jumpstartyourjoy.com. And I do have, if you're thinking of starting a podcast, I do a 5-day plan your podcast challenge if you want to partake. But yeah, that's the best place. And all my handles are Jumpstart Your Joy or Jumpstart Joy if they were too long, like Pinterest and Twitter.
Awesome. Yes. Go check out your podcast. I'm going to tell everybody, if you're a podcast listener, which obviously they are because you're here, go check out Paula's podcast. It is a delight to listen to, especially while we are not always faced with the best news in our other media outlets. So thank you again so much. It's been a delight to catch up.
Thank you so much, Casey.
Thanks for tuning in for another week of Steady She Grows. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to screenshot the show and give a share over on Instagram. Tag me at Casey.Jordan and share your key takeaways. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcast or wherever you give it a listen. And until next week, my friends, keep on crushing it.